Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Chris. A very good morning to you. I'm having a very English morning. I'm having a cup of coffee.
English morning.
That should really be tea, shouldn't it? But I am eating crumpets with butter on. Ooh, lovingly prepared. I'm feeling good. I'm having a lovely Friday morning. It's a Friday. We're recording 2 days before this goes out. So it's up to the minute news, guys.
Absolutely. And while you've been eating crumpets all morning, I've been lost in some sort of forest, filming a video covered in sweat and flies. It's been horrible, Pete. Why do I do this? Why do I go out of my way to make an effort? I should just start making videos in my apartment. I've been doing videos for this Driving in Japan video that I've been working on off and on all month.
Right, yeah.
And I've got a scene where I come across a sign about a bear, basically warning people that there's bears. And the very sign that I tried to film is in this very unpleasant forested area near a dam deep in the mountains of North Japan, and I regret that. In hindsight, I should have just got I should have photoshopped a fucking sign of a bear. What was I thinking? Moron.
You just go to any other sign and then just CGI put a bit of After Effects or just add a bear to it. Change one of those old lady and old man signs, little elderly people crossing signs. Just add some ears on that and just pretend it's like an elderly bear sign.
I wish I'd done that. I wish I was a smart individual. I mean, this is the same me who spent like an entire month using a green screen and having this kind of very specialized scene last month, if you remember, when I kind of green screened myself into a tiny Japanese diorama, apartment. Japanese sitting room. And now I am not using those incredible CGI powers to do something that I should have.
Well, you've gone back to the old school like they have with all of the
old school.
Real effects with like Star Wars and stuff like that. People are going back to the old school puppets and stuff.
I have gone back to the old school puppets. I am like Star Wars. Get me in the forest with some bears. That's my day. I think you win so far. So well done.
I was incredibly late for the recording because I got completely confused about what time we were recording because I thought we were doing it at 5 o'clock your time rather than 5 o'clock my time. Sorry.
All the more time for me to rummage through a forest with bears. Brilliant stuff. So this week, there's been a lot of news around a particular topic. And the particular topic is Japan's disastrous go-to campaign. Now, I don't know how much you guys have heard about this, but basically the Japanese government, in order to stimulate tourism after a not-so-great year, 3 or 4 months of no tourism, the idea was to give people vouchers, right, and get them travelling around the country and actually pay for their trips and whatnot. However, the campaign has quickly gone down the pan because the coronavirus is back with a vengeance, unfortunately, in Tokyo. It's going through a kind of second wave at the moment with about 300 cases on average per day, which is higher than I think even back in March. And so where people were supposed to leave Tokyo and come frolic in the hot springs of North Japan and enjoy themselves and have half of their trip paid for with a 1.35 trillion yen budget, which is about $13 billion, and a massive amount of money. now people have lost the appetite for it. And in fact, people in areas like Tohoku, friends that I've been speaking to recently, like Natsuki or Ryotaro or my other friend Yuki, they're all terrified. They're all not particularly excited about this idea, unleashing a wave of people from Tokyo who could potentially be infected, given that's where the hotspot is, upon the countryside where the cases are relatively low at the moment. So it's been this kind of turbulent week. And we got an email from a guy called James who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I'd like to know, is there still enthusiasm in Japan for the postponed Olympic Games? There's a promotional poster that's been hanging all year in my workplace and it's getting on my nerves. All the best, James from Fresno." And the answer is no, James. The enthusiasm for the Olympics has, unfortunately, all but gone, and they're not looking forward to it next year as a result.
They did restart the clock, didn't they? Because, you know, they've got that countdown clock every year. They restarted that last week in the middle of this kind of Tokyo spike. You do look at like 300 cases. You do look at like 300 cases per day or something. Compared to like a lot of places, you sort of go, wow, that's still kind of low, you know.
It is low.
Because they've not opened up to any countries, and the first people to be let through. I'm just trying to get out there around about September time. I don't think I'm going to get out there September time. I'm now a little bit concerned about that, which is annoying because I was very much looking forward to it, and I may get rather angry. I'll have to sneak in under the auspices of a business meeting. I've got a very important business meeting with Natsuki. About investing in his hairdressing salons.
Now, that would be a business venture that I could get behind. I'd love to see that play out. Or he could pull a Carlos Ghosn and come in a cello case from Lebanon.
Yeah, that's first class travel. First class.
But you're right. There's 300 cases in Tokyo, but there was 300 deaths alone in Florida the same day, just to put it in perspective. So, it's true. The number of cases in Tokyo is high by the standards of Japan, but good by the standards of the rest of the world, given that there's 36 million people in the Tokyo metropolitan area. But no, people in Japan are very worried about the coronavirus still. A lot of people are very worried about it. And yeah, I mean, there's a big question mark hanging over next year's Olympics now. I think 51% of people... There was a study done by Kyodo News, and they said that they found that 51% of the population did not want the Olympics to go ahead next year, with a quarter of those thinking they should just be cancelled outright. Tokyo's governor, Yuriko Koike, who was re-voted in just last week and beat the crazy and bizarre candidates we discussed about 2 or 3 weeks ago. She is for the Olympics, and she wants to host the Games as a kind of symbol to the world that we've overcome this coronavirus, this horrible situation. But without the support of the people, it remains to be seen whether or not it will go ahead. It's a shame. It really is. Yeah. But I've had a lot of people also ask me, you know, a lot of people seem to be coming over in October, back when it's all kicked off in March or April. A lot of people postpone their trips to October around that time. But I have to say, I'm not convinced that they're going to open the borders just yet and let people in. I honestly don't know if they will or not. So I cannot say. If you've booked your holiday the same time as Pete, September, October, I hope you've got travel insurance or you're able to move your flights, postpone them, like a good friend of mine has done. What are you going to do, Pete?
Well, I guess I'm probably going to have to postpone them, I suppose. I mean, I'm presuming that'll be in the deal when the actual flight got booked. I presume British Airways had that in their writing. I mean, I'm not one for the small print, so I may have seen off a decent amount of money there. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do, eh?
Yeah, it's a shame. But as I've been saying to a lot of people, you know, use the time to study more Japanese, you know, sit down, study as much as you can. All the more you know, the better for your trip. And obviously, hopefully, you can use that time to save up a bit more money so you can turn it around a bit. That's the only positive spin I can put on a thoroughly shit situation.
Chris.
Yeah. Get some Japanese in. And with that, we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson, in the fax machine?
We've got a message from someone called Jasmine. Hey guys, I've been listening for a while now and I don't actually have a Japan related question. But as you brought video games to the table so much this past episode, I was wondering if either of you are playing Sucker Punch's latest release, Ghosts of Tsushima. I don't know why I labored so hard on the word Tsushima, because I've heard so many people labor over it. I know how to say it, I know how to read it, but everybody I've ever heard on a podcast describe the video game Ghost of Tsushima, they can't seem to get it out. As a lone samurai who learned some ninja techniques along the way, you go up against the Mongol horde that's occupying your home island. Since leisure travel has been halted until who knows when, the game is giving you a much-needed Japan experience right now. The world is vast and intricate. The visuals are absolutely stunning, and it's so satisfying how various aspects of culture, both ancient Japanese and Mongolian, are laid in as well. Check it out. I'm overjoyed that we get two episodes a week now. We're just enjoying listening to you both talk, apparently. Keep up the good work. Thank you for that, Jasmine. It's a little harder to record when you forget what time it is. I must say, Jasmine, when you are having to record two episodes a week, have you gotten involved with the old Ghost of Tsushima?
I mean, I've been dangerously tempted to buy it when I'm not rummaging through a forest. I do like the idea of sitting on a sofa playing Ghost of Tsushima. And I actually did some drone shots recently for this Driving in Japan video, and I got a really nice shot of the car passing through a rice field, and the rice fields are blowing in the wind, very much like Ghost of Tsushima. And I feel like I want to buy it now. I feel like the scenery in the game looks absolutely stunning. The graphics are off the charts. The gameplay, I haven't played it, so I don't know if it's good or not, but the graphics alone have reeled me in, which is a rare thing for a game to do. I don't normally play a video game for graphics, but something about this game, it just looks like a work of art. And for that alone, it's worth doing. And of course,
I think
cutting up the Mongolian horde.
That Mongolian horde. I think a lot of people are saying that it is very beautiful, as a lot of games are at the end of a life cycle of any console. Obviously, it is the end of the is it a PS4 exclusive? Either way, it's the end of that cycle, and I imagine the PC port, if it ever happens, is would look bloody lovely. But yeah, apparently, usually at the end of every cycle, you get like this amazingly beautiful video game. I think they did the same thing with The Last of Us 1. And we're getting the Last of Us Part 2, I guess. Well, you get like a really, they've mastered the technology, and it takes them 10 years to master the technology well enough to make this beautiful thing. And like, yeah, some of the the foliage and stuff is so beautiful. Apparently the game's very simplistic. Well, not simplistic. It's a very kind of like fetch kind of like open world. It's a very standard world game, but it's a beautiful rendition of it. Go over there.
Are you going to buy it?
I've not got, I'm moving out, and I'm doing bits and bobs. I'm not gonna have time to play any video games. I've been playing a bit of as I think I said last week, a bit of Rainbow Six Siege, which I'm enjoying immensely. So that's a lot easier to sort of pick up and put down.
Breaking into a house and sieging a house is better than riding through the fields
or
of Tsushima. Brilliant.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Jackmate's Happy Hour is back for a brand new season. It's the podcast where we talk to some of the most exciting people in the world, from Ricky Gervais.
In some ways, fame makes you a better person. You know, it's like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God's watching me, but I know someone with a
Everyone else
phone.
Is.
To undercover police officers.
Can you see the fading scar there, gentlemen?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I was stabbed in the neck by a drug dealer once.
Or we just talk about whatever's making us laugh right now.
When you think back to school kid banter, like, it's well funny because of how immature it is. We had this teacher called Mr. McGibbon, and he had this big cushion that he was teaching us how to rugby tackle on. He just ran up to it, rugby tackled it, but landed on top of it, and one of the kids shouted, "It's not your wife, sir."
That is funny.
Listen to Jack Mate's Happy Hour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Jackmate's Happy Hour is a Stakhanov production.
We've got Vlad from Texas. He says, "Greetings to His Imperial Majesty Pete Donaldson, first of his name, Herald of Kulish, creator of podcasts and premier lover of Japan." Oh, and hi, Chris. Unbelievable. Why do you always get the nice titles? Unbelievable. I was wondering, Pete, if you'd become an assistant language teacher on the JET program, how do you think your life would be different? For Chris, how do you think your experience in Japan would have changed if your initial run into Natsuki had never happened? Continue to make bigger and better projects. Vlad from Texas, bigger and better projects. What would you have done, Pete? How would your life be different if you'd gotten to the JET program and taught English in Japan?
Well, listen, I mean, if we're talking about great names and introductions, Vlad from Texas is pretty fucking awesome, to be honest.
It's pretty cool.
Sounds like a rock band. Wonderful. I spent most of my 20s just drinking pop and beer, but mainly pop and eating sweets. So it would basically be just the same, but I just would have experienced a wider range of pop. I'd be just drinking more pop all the time. So I'd be just bothering the vending machines of the greater Tokyo district, I think, and becoming an incredibly overweight man.
Good man. I mean, I love the way that's what you came up with. You drinking soft drinks, fizzy soft drinks.
Well, that's all
Japan.
I do, though, when I'm in Japan, is just go from fizzy pop, like those weird kind of coffee and cola mixers you get sometimes, to the hot clam chowder, to the to just every kind of fizzy pop possible. It's incredible. I think the last time I drank the hot clam chowder was in Sapporo with you, and you were not impressed with my choice of hot canned drink.
No,
speaking of that, I got all the footage from my Super 8 camera. It's not very good. It's not very good. You get a little bit of you guys, the team, the Marvel, Chris Broad cinematic universe, but you don't get a lot. But I'll pile it all together and chuck it over. Maybe you can do something with it.
For those that missed Pete's Super 8 spectacle, if you watched the Sapporo video, Pete had a 1980s camcorder, which is pretty stylish and quite cool, but it had like 3 minutes of record time because it was a Super 8 old camera. I think it was using a tape. I don't remember how it was being stored.
It was usual kind of, it's just like an old camera, like you expose the film to light and then that's how it works. But it's taken such a long time for it to be processed. It's all
4 months.
It took such a long time. I was bugging the company so much. They said that they were unaffected by coronavirus. They were affected by coronavirus.
You had to send it to Germany. They saw it out for you, and then they sent it back again. But I can't wait to look through it, honestly. That's going to be a lot of fun. And as for me, if I'd never met Natsuki, I don't know what my future would have held. Maybe I would have lived in the town that I lived in, Sakata, in Yamagata. Maybe I would have cut my time there short. Because a big part of why I stayed there 3 years was after my second year, after meeting Natsuki, I kind of felt like part of the community. Natsuki introduced me to people. He reeled me into the area. And I just felt less like a tourist and more like someone who just lived there. And that was a big factor. So I don't know. Honestly, I don't. Somebody recently asked me, do I think the Abroad in Japan channel would be as successful without Natsuki, which is an interesting question. And the conclusion I came to was, I think the channel would still be pretty big just by virtue of the fact that most people are just interested in Japan. It's not me, Natsuki, or Ryotaro. It's just the topic of Japan. But if you look at the most successful 12 videos on the channel, Natsuki's only in 2 of them. The other 10, he's not in them. So I think the channel would still be big, but it wouldn't be half as good. And I can't deny that. Without Natsuki, I think a part of the channel's soul would be missing, wouldn't it, Pete? It'd be a little bit sad.
I cannot believe you ran the stats on your friends. You're disgraceful.
Just wait till you hear what I've got.
Don't check my stats.
We got one from Jesper. I'll hand that over to you.
Jesper, maybe from Denmark. Hello, Chris and Pete, you massive legends. Big fan of what you guys do, both when it comes to YouTube and the podcast and some of Pete's other podcasts. Thanks, Jesper. My questions are, first off, how rare are sports bars in Japan? I've been researching Japan quite a bit and it doesn't really come off as a sports-interested country like the UK with football. So I was wondering if places where you could potentially go out and watch some football or something sports-related were actually a thing in Japan. Since I love myself some sport, I figured I could that could be potentially a way to speak with some of the locals and potentially learn some of the culture or the language as well. Second question is, of all of the places you've cycled in Japan, which were the most bicycle-friendly? I love riding my bike. I'd love to enjoy the beautiful Japan from the saddle of my bicycle when I eventually visit once all of this corona is over, or at least in a well enough state for unproblematic travelling. Sorry if this mail was a bit long, or if you've had some of these questions before. Keep up the good work. I don't think we've had a sports bar question before. It is kind of hard to find places to watch, certainly soccer, just simply because of the time difference. If you're watching like a night match during the week, I mean, what's that, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning? And if you're watching an afternoon match, that's cracking on for 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. So that is something you have to think about. So that's probably why American and English sports aren't quite as popular. But, Hub's always a good one. If a hub's open, you'll be able to see some football, no doubt. If the football's on, it'll be on in a hub.
That's right. Hub is a glorified sports bar, as well as a British bar. Like that is the place you go to watch rugby, football, baseball, whatever. It is rarer to come by. But in Tokyo, there are quite a few, and you're never that far away from one in Tokyo, I'd say. And as for the second question, out of all the places you cycle in Japan, which is the most bicycle-friendly? I mean, the entire route that I did journey across Japan was cycle-friendly, because if you look at the route along the west coast and then around Lake Biwa into Kyoto, around the Inland Sea and all the way to Kagoshima, that route is basically all flat. I managed to do it without going over any big mountains. So there was hills. I don't think you actually dealt with any hills when we cycled, Pete, although you only cycled one day. You're a lucky boy.
I only cycled one day and it was a beautiful, beautiful day. Actually, it got a bit rainy as we headed into Kyoto. But yeah, I remember there was maybe one small gradient, one steep incline that got the legs pumping like pistons, and then I have a little rest. But I'm incredibly A, unhealthy, B, unfit, C, I never do leg day, so my legs are like little stringy little noodles. So I find cycling incredibly difficult. So whenever I see like people really attacking mountains in their lycra, I sort of go, why are you even doing that? Because in Japan they've got that ridiculous bridge that looks like it sort of disappears. Have you seen it? It's like it goes up.
I have.
And then it just goes nowhere. It's really weird. It's in every Japanese vlogger's video, because they love a bit of that. But it just looks like it just disappears into nothing.
It's in Shimane Prefecture, an area that I've never gone anywhere near. But yeah, it's like a really weird gradient. And it looks almost vertical at one point, doesn't it? I think it's that one you're talking about.
I don't know why they... it looks like when you look at like Japanese engineering, like everyone goes, oh, you know, it's really just really well thought out and really well put together. But yeah, that just looks like they've gone mad. Like someone's added a multiple to a number that didn't need to be added, and they're in big trouble. They've really ruined everything.
Just type in like Japan's craziest bridge and it always comes up. It's a sight to behold. We got one here from Hamza. It says, hi, Chris and Pete. My name's Hamza. I'm from Turkey. Hope you guys are doing okay during the pandemic. I'm living in Tokyo right now and I'm commuting to my school every weekday. I spend 2 hours on the train and I listen to your podcast while I'm commuting. You guys don't have the chance to make podcasts every day, right? No, Hamza. God, no. How do 2 a week's already hard enough. How did you spend your time when you were on the train in Japan? How do I make my time on the trains more useful? Thank you for answering. Regards, Hamza. That is an interesting question. What do you do on the train, Pete, to keep yourself busy? I'm guessing it's sleep and drink, judging on the last time I saw you on a train.
Stare at people, licking my lips. Now, I invariably listen to podcasts because I am a co-owner of a podcast company, and that so I've got to listen to the podcasts that we put out. I don't always have time to listen to everything we put out. I do a lot of football, soccer podcast stuff, so I've got to listen to other soccer podcasts to see how our stuff stacks up. I don't play a lot of video games. I should really take my Switch out a bit more and get involved. I just can't. I've just never really had that lengthy a commute. I am going to be moving out into the sticks a little bit, away from Soho relatively soon. So I'll have a little bit of time to commute in. So maybe I'll drag my PlayStation 4, car battery, little LCD screen and play Ghost of Tsushima on a desk on one of the fan trains we have in this nation. But no, I've got no real sort of technique. I like a nice read. I like a read every now and again. Grab your Kindle. Lovely old job. But yeah, podcasts for me.
Yeah, listen to the very things you create. I must admit, I don't listen to the Abroad in Japan podcast that much, given I don't have much time. I do listen like once or twice a month just to see that nothing's gone spectacularly wrong. And also, it's just like self-improvement, isn't it? Self-improvement.
Yeah. Get better. No, I'm not into that, to be honest. What podcast do you listen to that aren't ours?
Oh, you've put me on the spot.
How I Made This. What's that about? No, what's it about?
It's a PBS, which is a public broadcast network or something in the US. And they basically just talk to entrepreneurs about how they set up their business. Like I listen to Airbnb, I listen to Squarespace, I listen to, I think, Dyson? No, I don't think it was Dyson. But I've listened to all these people, how they set up their companies, basically. And it's absolutely fascinating. I listened to Shake Shack last week as well. This is interesting. I've always been fascinated by entrepreneurship. Yeah, check that out. If you want another podcast that isn't Abroad in Japan, How I Made This, completely unrelated to this, and we should be getting a fee for shouting them out. Because this is too generous.
Well, I'll drop them an invoice.
Brilliant. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next time to do it all over again. I used to say next week, but now it's every 3 or 4 days. So we'll see you then, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world. Have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
We'll be back for Wednesday.
Wednesday. See you for Wednesday.
Wednesday for friends.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.